The Future of Cash, a Questionnaire. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. As you know, in Australia, there's a draft bill to restrict the use of cash transactions over $10,000, measures which leave the door open, which could considerably restrict civil liberties, force people into the banking system, remember that these private institutions may charge, and even allow governments to control the financial system by turning it off or by placing emergency restrictions in a crisis. In some other countries, in Scandinavia, for example, where cash has been largely displaced by digital, some central banks are now waking up to the risks that the payment system actually is exposed to via digital because it's being controlled by private entities. And alternatives are, rather belatedly, being discussed. What you may not know is that in New Zealand, the Reserve Bank there released an issues paper, The Future of Cash Use, and is seeking feedback from people by the 31st of August. So today, I want to highlight the questions on which they're seeking feedback, plus some of the important issues they discuss in their report. And all this in the context of the breaking news I discussed yesterday, where Mark Carney, Bank of England Governor, has given a significant speech at the Jackson Hole Symposium in which he outlines some potential steps for a new global currency. He argues that just as sterling transitioned to the US dollar in the 1930s, something similar could occur again. But rather than having a battle of competing reserve currencies, perhaps an alternative path is possibly via a synthetic hegemonic currency, an SHC. This might be based on the network of central bank digital currencies rather than something like Libra. Technology, he said, has the potential to disrupt the network externalities that prevent the incumbent global reserve currency from being displaced. Retail transactions are taking place increasingly online rather than on the high street and through electronic payments over cash. And the relatively high costs of domestic and cross-border electronic payments are encouraging innovation, with new entrants applying new technologies to offer lower cost, more convenient retail payment services. The most high profile of these has been Libra, a new payments infrastructure based on an international stable coin fully backed by reserve assets, in a basket of currencies including the US dollar, the euro, and sterling. And it could be exchanged between users on messenger platforms and with participating retailers. There are a host of fundamental issues that Libra must address, ranging from privacy to anti-money laundering and operational resilience. In addition, depending on its design, it could have substantial implications for both monetary and financial stability. And then he went on to say, the Bank of England and other regulators have been clear that unlike in social media, for which standards and regulations are only now being developed after the technologies have been adopted by billions of users, the terms of engagement for any new systemic private payment system must be in force well in advance of any launch. And he says, as a consequence, it is an open question whether such a new synthetic hegemonic currency, the SHC, would be best provided by the public sector, perhaps through a network of central bank digital currencies. Even if the initial variants of the idea proved wanting, the concept is intriguing. It is worth considering how an SHC in the IMFs could support better global outcomes. An SHC could dampen the domineering influence of the US dollar on global trade. And if the share of trade invoiced in SHC were to rise, shocks in the US would have less potent spillovers through exchange rates and trade would become less synchronized across countries, and by the same token, global trade would become more sensitive to changes in conditions in the countries of the other currencies in the basket backing the SHC. Thus, the dollar's influence on global financial conditions could similarly decline if a financial architecture developed around the new SHC and it displaced the dollar's dominance in credit markets. By reducing the influence of the US on the global financial cycle, that would help reduce the volatility of capital flows. The currencies that compose its basket could gradually be seen as reliable reserve assets. This would lessen the downward pressure on equilibrium interest rates and help alleviate the global liquidity trap. Now, folks, this is a big deal when aligned with the reduction in cash, the migration to digital currencies and globalization. The potential implications are immense. So now let's go back to those New Zealand questions. And they started like this. One, do you agree that there is a risk of New Zealand becoming a society with less cash usage? Second, overall, do you agree that people that are digitally and financially excluded could be severely negatively affected if fewer New Zealand banknotes and coins were available? These include people who are not banked or have limitations to accessing the banking system, such as people without identification and proof of address, people with convictions, people with disabilities, illegal immigrants, and children. People who face barriers to digital inclusion, such as people with disabilities, senior citizens, people with low socioeconomic status, people that live in rural communities with low internet service, migrants, and refugees with English as a second language, convicts, and other sectors. Specifically, if there was less cash used in New Zealand, would financial exclusion increase due to barriers to digital inclusion becoming barriers to financial inclusion? Would financial exclusion increase for people that are not banked or have limited access to the banking system? Third, overall, do you think that tourists, people in some island nations, and people who use cash for cultural customs could also use other forms of money? Fourth, overall, do you think that tourists, people in some island nations, and people who use cash for cultural customs would be negatively affected if fewer New Zealand banknotes and coins were available? Specifically, if there was less cash in New Zealand, would tourists, for example, access to payments be significantly reduced in New Zealand? If so, how would this impact the tourism industry? Would cultural identity in New Zealand be undermined? And could cultural customs evolve to no longer rely on cash? And is the loss of New Zealand banknotes and coins to the Pacific Islands an issue that needs to be considered? Five, overall, do you agree that members of society could lose the freedom and autonomy that cash provides, the ability to use cash as a backup form of payment, and could be more exposed to national and personal cyber threats? Specifically, if there was less cash use in New Zealand, would personal freedom be reduced? Would New Zealand be more exposed to cyber security risks? Would illegal activities excluding tax evasion be largely unaffected? And six, does cash provide an essential emergency backup form of payment for personal emergencies? And seven, does cash provide an essential emergency backup form of payments for large-scale emergencies like a national disaster or nationwide payment systems outage? Eight, overall, do you agree that there are limited or balanced effects on budgeting, financial stability, and government revenue? Specifically, if there was less cash in New Zealand, is the effect on budgeting neutral? Would the impact on government revenue be neutral? Would tax evasion be harder for people and businesses? would financial stability be unaffected despite the fact that depositors cannot run to cash? And would there be a change in how payment system stability risks are managed if cash was not a viable backup payment option? And 9, overall, do you agree that providing cash infrastructure is a cost that New Zealand for which we should all pay? Specifically, should the cash system be subsidised by non-cash users such as government, banks, or retailers, other customers? And in the paper, they also discuss some of the main potential downsides resulting from cash being used less. And it's worth going through these at a high level. Given the trends in cash demand and the cost pressures on the commercial supply of cash in New Zealand, it is possible that cash will become less widely available or used in the medium or long term. The effect of less cash in society would be felt more keenly by certain groups of people who rely on cash and for whom no practical substitute exists. The severity of these impacts would be worsened if the transition to a society with less cash acceptance occurred before mitigation measures could be put in place. Further, the size of the affected groups might not be large enough to motivate cash providers to ensure future cash availability. But the size might also not be negligible. So, for example, people who are financially or digitally excluded could be severely negatively affected, because cash provides access to the financial system for those who face barriers to financial inclusion. Further, in a society with less cash, barriers to digital inclusion could become barriers to financial inclusion. The second issue is tourists. People in some Pacific Islands and people who use cash for cultural customs might be negatively affected if they cannot use substitutes. Currently, most tourists use cash as a reliable and easy-to-use form of payment. Reserve Bank research has revealed that cash is typically issued to Auckland and overseas and sent back to the Reserve Bank from the South Island. This movement is likely due to the movement of tourists. Many retailers in New Zealand do not accept credit cards or contactless payments due to their high interchange fees, preferring instead to accept debit and FPOS cards, which require a New Zealand bank account, that incur much lower costs for the retailers. And then they touched on a series of cultural customs. New Zealand's banknotes have been referred to as the country's business card. The designs on the notes represent many of their cultural icons and contribute to the national identity. Cash is also used in many cultural customs in New Zealand. Some cultures that use cash as gifts in traditional ceremonies might find that part of their cultural identity is lost if they can no longer access cash easily. The next issue to consider is that all members of society will lose the freedom and autonomy that cash provides, be more exposed to cyber threats, and lose the ability to use cash as a backup form of payment. If cash use and the availability were to decline, an issue for all members of society would be the loss of freedom that cash provides in terms of autonomous spending and wealth stores, privacy, ability to live off the grid, and ability to avoid the banking system. This could result in a significant loss of social freedom in aggregate and increased cybersecurity risks, leading to an increase in national security risks. Lastly, society would lose the benefit of cash as a backup form of payment, although the usefulness of cash in this role is limited. Cash is autonomous, so provides consumers with autonomy or discretion in how they choose to spend their money or store their wealth. The feature of full autonomy creates personal and societal freedom and has not been replicated in digital currencies. There are three elements to this freedom. The first relates to the desire for privacy in making transactions. The second relates to the desire to avoid banks or government regulation. And the third relates to exposure to cyber crime. The offline and anonymous feature of cash enables people to separate their transactions and stores of wealth from the banking system and some government interventions. There are legitimate motivations for this separation. There is currently no guarantee of the safety of bank deposits in New Zealand. Households and businesses could lose their deposits if banks were engaged in overly risky lending or if a severe series of events occurred and many loans were not repaid. And people might also want to remove their savings from the banking system if the Reserve Bank charged negative interest rates to stimulate the economy. Cash provides an avenue for people to avoid this form of government intervention or any other government intervention that might occur in the future, such as capital controls. Relatedly, people might want to store wealth outside the banking system if they have low fundamental trust in banks or the government. If there were less cash in society, individuals would lose their privacy and autonomy from government in the sense that all their transactions and savings would be fully traceable if permitted by law. And third, storing and transacting in cash reduces exposure to cybercrime, such as financial losses and identity fraud. On a societal level, New Zealand might be more exposed to cybercrime, such as state-funded cyber threats, if it were totally reliant on the banking system and digital money for all transactions and savings. And on a personal level, some people might prefer to keep their identities and finances offline due to cyber concerns. Therefore, people might demand a central bank digital currency that provides lower traceability than current electronic payments and accounts and presents an alternative to the banking system. This could be in the form of accounts with the central bank or tokens issued by the central bank, which carry a very low risk of default and sit outside the commercial banking system. A central bank digital currency could also be designed to provide a low-cost form of payment to put downward pressure on uncompetitive prices in the payment system. Alternatively, consumers might ask for deposit protection and greater regulation of the banking system. People might also value the freedom and autonomy of cash for illegitimate reasons. Cash is used in the shadow economy to facilitate illegal transactions or as a means to hide income and reduce tax and other obligations. The International Monetary Fund estimated New Zealand's shadow economy at 11.7% of GDP in 1991 to 2015. It is difficult, of course, to assess what might occur in the shadow economy if we had less cash in the system. At the margin, some shadow economic activities could be reduced as people consider the additional difficulty of engaging in them without anonymous payments. For example, some people might be dissuaded from buying illegal goods and services if they could not avoid leaving electronic records of their purchases. However, it is also possible that criminal activity would innovate to other mechanisms or forms of payment. With regard to the loss of emergency backup, cash can be a backup payment mechanism when electronic payment systems are not in operation or otherwise unavailable. The Reserve Bank survey on cash use indicated that 37% of people held cash just in case it was needed, meaning not for immediate transactions. Cash is particularly useful in case of personal emergencies or localized or short-term disruptions in electronic payment systems and after large-scale events, conditional on the availability of retail stores able to accept it. With regard to financial stability, a society with less cash does not pose a risk to financial stability, they said. Cash represents a claim on the government and carries low default risk. In theory, the ability of depositors to convert their savings into cash represents a form of market discipline on banks that encourages them to operate prudently. However, there is little empirical evidence to support this. Market discipline is only one form of discipline safeguarding our financial system. Another form is regulatory discipline, and the Reserve Bank is mandated to use prudential regulation and supervision to contribute to a stable financial system. The second aspect of stability is payment stability. Migrating from two payment systems to one payment system would consolidate operational risk in the single payment system. And greater emphasis would be required on ensuring the operational reliability of the single payment system if people could not easily revert to cash if there were a system outage. Most electronic payments, except cryptocurrencies, rely on the same back-end payment system, which exhibits several single points of failure. So, in summary, if you're in New Zealand, you should read this paper and make your submission to the Reserve Bank in New Zealand by the end of August. And if you're living elsewhere, for example, in Australia, where there is still a live debate about whether the 10,000 limit on cash transactions should be legislated, then use this to help form your views and opinions. The bottom line for me is this, that we are, I think, sleepwalking into a future where essentially transactions are going to be trapped within the digital world. Transactions will be tracked, information will be captured, and essentially we will be less able to exert our freedoms as individuals and be forced to comply within the system that is being defined for us. Which takes me right back to Carney's point earlier on. And let me just make two other points. In a monetary system where negative interest rates are likely to come in, there is a very strong reason why people may well decide to withdraw large amounts of cash from the system, because if they hold it in the system, they will have to pay for it. And secondly, in this situation, the ability for the central banks to have an impact on the broader economy if they go strongly negative in interest rates will be significantly diminished if, in fact, more transactions go round the system and are in cash. And so the link, the direct link between the removal of cash and negative interest rates and other monetary policy options should not be underestimated. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.